Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church, located at 905 Yadkin Street in Kingsport, Tennessee, would like to invite you to listen to a message of sovereign grace by their pastor, Gabe Stonecker. And now, Pastor Gabe Stonecker.
I have a message for you today from Psalm 130. Psalm 130. This is a precious, precious psalm. All of God's word is precious. Everything that he has to say is precious. But this psalm in particular is one that I personally love and enter into every time I read it. This is just a wonderful, wonderful psalm. You know, there's a difference in knowing that I need to cry out for mercy and crying out for mercy. There's a difference in that. If you asked many people, I believe they would know. Sinners need to cry out for mercy. But there's a difference in knowing that I need to cry out for mercy and crying out for mercy. There's a difference. There's a difference. There's a difference in knowing that Christ came to save sinners. Honestly, who does not know that Christ came to save sinners? But there's a difference in knowing that Christ came to save sinners and being a sinner who desperately needs to be saved. There's a difference. The difference is in the head and the heart. There's a difference. Here in Psalm 130, David penned the true heart experience of a child of God. Solomon said, out of the heart are these issues. These issues are not dealt with in the mind. Now, when God comes to a sinner, he affects the mind. He teaches the mind. He gives a changed mind. That's what repentance is called. But when God goes to work on a sinner, he goes to work all the way down into the heart of that sinner. This thing becomes real. This thing becomes life. And there's a difference. There's a difference. David here is going to tell us the true heart experience of a child of God. Every soul that is born into this world is born into the cesspool of sin. David said we were conceived in sin. That's where it started. We came forth from our mother's womb speaking lies. It immediately started. You don't have to teach children how to lie. We don't send them to school and let that be one of their subjects. Okay, children, now this is how you lie. We don't do that. That's already in the heart. We're conceived and born into the cesspool of sin. Every soul begins in the depths and the darkness of sin. Every soul. Not only is that soul in sin, and not only is that soul living sin and loving sin and naturally doing sin, the soul has no idea that he's in it. No idea that he's doing it. No idea. We're all dead to it. Even though we are alive in sin, we're dead to the knowledge of it. Dead to it. Blind to it. But God chose not to leave his children, those that he loved, those that he bought, those that he purchased were bought with a price. Those that he purposed to call to himself. God chose not to leave his particular children in that deep darkness. He chose to bring them out. And one by one, in his good time, He opens their eyes. He opens their eyes through the Word, through Him sending a messenger with His Word. God uses what He calls the foolishness of preaching, meaning what men believe is foolishness. That's what God uses to open the eyes of His children. They start to see in the Word. And when He does that, He causes them to see the darkness. The darkness that they did not see before. He causes them to see what a vile, horrible, putrefying cesspool of sin they're in. They didn't see it before. Had no idea. And when they see that, something happens. As soon as they see it, something happens. Just like Saul of Tarsus. Just like Saul, it said of each one of his people, "Behold, he prayeth." When God came to Saul and opened his eyes and blinded him, he told Ananias, "I want you to go deliver my message to Saul of Tarsus." He was going to change his name to the Apostle Paul. And Ananias said, "I've heard of him. He hates you and he hates your people." God told Ananias, "Behold, look at him. He's praying. He is praying." This really happens, and it happens in sincerity, the sincerity of the heart. God's child does not pray. He does not pray to God because he's told to pray. He's not trying to repeat someone else's prayer. He's not doing what he sees and thinks ought to be done. This is a true heart experience of every child of God after God opens his eyes. Every time. That heart acknowledges to God, number one, where I am. That's the first thing the heart prays out to God, cries out to God, where I am. If you look at Psalm 130, verse 1 says, out of the depths. Out of the depths. There's a song in the hymn book we use here at the church. And it says, out of my bondage. I'm going to skip down through some of the lines and not read it all to you. But this is where the song is coming from. Out of my bondage, sorrow and night. Out of my sickness, out of my want. That means lack, out of my lack. Out of my sin, out of my shameful failure and loss. That's what God opens the eyes to see. Out of earth's sorrows, out of life's storms, out of distress, out of unrest and arrogant pride. That's where I am. I'm in my own arrogant pride. The song goes on to say, out of myself. Out of despair, out of the fear and dread of the tomb, out of the depths of ruin untold, ruin that could not be imagined, ruin that I could have never imagined. He said, that's where I am. That's what God causes his people to see. This is where I am. Now, does our heart cry the same thing? Has God revealed this to us, and does our heart cry, Lord, this is where I am. I'm in the depths. If you don't do something for me, if you leave me alone, I'm going to die down here in the depths. This is where I am. I'm in the depths. Here's the second thing. This heart will truly cry to God. This is what I'm doing. Verse 1 says, out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. I'm not demanding. I'm not demanding. I'm crying. Oh, I don't approach you in arrogance. I don't approach you thinking that you owe me anything or that I deserve anything. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm crying. I'm not announcing, I'm crying. That Pharisee and that publican went into the temple to pray. Luke 18, that's the story. And that Pharisee, he prayed in all of his arrogance and all of his pride. He told God who he was and what he had done and all of his expecting God to accept him based on the resume he was offering God. And the publican would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but he smote upon his breast. He smote upon his heart. He was beating his heart, crying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Which one did God say had his eyes open, was justified before him? The publican, not the Pharisee, the publican. Oh, Lord, this is where I am. I'm in the depths. And this is what I'm doing. I am crying unto thee. Lord, I'm crying. And this is how I'm doing it. As a beggar. As a beggar, verse 2 says, Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. I am begging supplications. I'm begging, Lord, please hear me. Please hear my cry. That's all I can do is cry and beg you to hear me. While the world is asking this question, what will you do with Jesus? They stand up and tell people, now what are you going to do with Jesus? God's children are asking, Lord, what are you going to do with me? What are you going to do with me? That's a sinner who's had his eyes opened. God Almighty, what are you going to do with me? Just like blind Bartimaeus, don't you love that story? That poor man, blind Bartimaeus, he was a beggar. He was a beggar. And that's what all of God's people are. They're beggars, and they know it. They know it. Blind Bartimaeus knew he was a beggar. And all of God's people do too. They cry, I'm in the depths. And I'm crying, please hear me, please. Now here's the next thing that a child of God who's had his eyes open will acknowledge to his God. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. You ask people that question, are you a sinner? Most of the time, the answer is no. But a true child of God who's had his eyes opened will say absolutely 100%, I'm a sinner. Verse 3, David said, if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? Who could pass your inspection? Lord, if you marked our sins, there's not a soul on this earth who could pass your inspection. Look with me at Psalm 90, back a few pages to Psalm 90, verse 8 says, thou hast set our iniquities before thee. You see our sin. And then it goes on to say, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. Lord, you not only mark the things that can be seen on the outside, the things I see and everybody else sees. You mark the things that can't be seen. The sins of the heart. You mark the sins that I don't even know about. You mark the things that I do know about in my mind and heart that nobody else does. And you even mark the things that I don't know about. The sins that I commit and I'm not even aware of them. Secret sins. This is the realization God brings his child to. Lord, who shall stand? Who shall stand? I can't stand. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. No sinner can stand in your presence. Who shall stand? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. I can't stand. I'm a sinner. I'm in the depths. And I'm crying and I'm begging because I'm a sinner. And Lord, this is what I need. This is what I need. I need forgiveness. I need forgiveness. If you look back in Psalm 130, verse 4 says, but there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. There is forgiveness with thee. I've heard about it. I've heard where I can find it. You sent a man to preach the truth of your word to me, and he told me about it. He told me where I could find it. There is forgiveness with thee. That's where it is. There is forgiveness with thee. I've been told it's not in my morality. If we had the time, I would take you through scripture after scripture after scripture of good, fine, moral people in this word that God said, depart from me, I never knew you. That Pharisee in the temple was one of them. God reveals to the heart of his child, it's not in my morality. I want to be a moral person. I don't want to be a sinner. Shall I continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. God, deliver me from my sin. Take it from me. I don't want to be a sinner. I don't want to be a rebel against God. God, help me. But God reveals to his child that my hope of forgiveness is not in my morality and my good deeds, even though that's what I desire to do. It's not in me turning over that new leaf like everybody tells you to do. It's not in my gifts. It's not in anything I can give to God. Any offering that I can make. It's not in any work that I can produce. There is forgiveness with thee. There's forgiveness with thee. Lord, you are the forgiver. You are the forgiver. Psalm 86 says, for thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. That's good news. Let me read that to you again. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Not unto every soul that just says, Lord, I'm calling on you because I'm worthy to call on you and I've done everything that you'll be happy with. Unto all them that call upon him like David is calling upon him. All them that call upon him like every single child of God calls upon him. Lord, I'm calling, I'm crying out, I'm begging for forgiveness. There is forgiveness with you. I believe you. I believe you. There's forgiveness with you and only you. Look with me at Isaiah 55. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 7. It says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. Let the wicked man forsake what he believes is the way of redemption. And the unrighteous man, thinking that he can go now and earn his own righteousness, let him leave all that. And let him return unto the Lord. And he will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Abundantly. He will abundantly forgive. Every soul who comes to him in sin, in helplessness, begging for mercy. How can a wicked, helpless sinner, an unrighteous, down in the depths of the cesspool sinner, how can that sinner receive forgiveness with God? He's coming for forgiveness. How can he receive it? That just and holy God. Turn with me over to Ephesians 1. Ephesians chapter 1. This is a precious chapter. I love this one too. Ephesians 1 verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. That's the message of the Scripture. Always the message of the Scripture. Where are God's blessings found? In Christ. It's in Christ. Verse 7 says, in whom? In Christ we have redemption. Through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. In order for a sinner who is down in the depths and the cesspool of sin, in order for that sinner to receive forgiveness and redemption, Christ is going to have to trade places with him. That's what has to happen. It's in him. It's in him trading places with the sinner. Christ had to come down. Why did Christ come? Why did Christ die on the cross? Why? Christ came down into the depths of the cesspool. Here we are. Out of the depths. He came all the way down into the depths of the cesspool, and He took our condition. Everything we're crying that we are. He took our condition upon Himself. The condition of every soul God chose to save. And He suffered the punishment for that soul in His or her place. Verse 7 says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. This right here is the only hope for a sinner. Only hope. And this is the saving cry of a sinner. This is the only hope, and this is the saving cry. I'm in the depths. I'm in the depths. And I'm crying unto you. Please hear me. Please hear me, because I'm just a beggar. I'm just a beggar. I come to you as I am. That song says, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. That's my only hope. And that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. I come. I'm a sinner who needs forgiveness. So this is what I'll do. If you look back in Psalm 130, He said, this is what I'll do. Verse 5, I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in His word do I hope. That's all I can do. That's all I can do is wait and hope. Beg and believe. Because this is all in your hands. I know that. I acknowledge that. So that's what I'm going to do. Wait and hope. Wait and hope. Believe and trust. This is how I'm going to do it. Verse 6, my soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. Meaning those who are just desperately needing morning to come. I'm going to wait and I'm going to hope as hard as I can. Over in Psalm 107, it talks about those that do business out in the depths of the sea. And they get in trouble out there. That sea rages and they get in trouble and they become afraid. And then they cry unto the Lord, and in His mercy He delivers them. It's a desperate, desperate need. It's an urgent, violent need. I need you. I'm going to wait and I'm going to hope as hard as I can. Our Lord said, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. I have to have this. I have to have this. This is my all. This is my all. Jacob said, I will not let you go. I cannot let you go until you bless me. Is that what's in this heart? Is that what's in your heart? A man in our history books named Patrick Henry, he said, give me liberty or give me death. Do we say, give me Christ? Give me liberty in Christ or give me nothing at all? It's Christ or nothing. I either have Him or I have death. He's my only hope. He's my only hope. Do our hearts say that? Verse 7 says in Psalm 130, let Israel hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is mercy, and with Him is plenteous redemption. I've been told that by God's Spirit. I've been told that by God's Word. I've been told that by God's preacher. And this is what God has convinced me of. Verse 8, He shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. God has convinced me of that. The heart of a true believer says, this is what God has convinced me of. Christ made the payment. He made the payment. He made it in full. Totally finished. It is completely finished. There will not be one sin left on the account of His child. If I'm His child, not one sin will be left on me. Every child of God cries that from the depths of his soul. Every single one. And everyone who cries that will hear this. Just like our Lord said in the book of Job, deliver him from going down to the pit. I found a ransom. A ransom has been found. I pray that God would cause us to cry that. I pray God would cause us to cry that from the depths of our soul. Lord, would you have mercy on me? Lord, would you forgive me? Lord, would you deliver me from the depths of my sin? I believe you are the only one who can. I believe all forgiveness is in you. You're my only hope. I believe you accomplished salvation. Every soul who believes that in the heart is a child of God, and every soul will be delivered. Till next week, may the Lord bless His Word to our hearts.
You have been listening to a message by Gabe Stonecker, pastor of Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church in Kingsport, Tennessee. If you would like a copy of this message or to hear other messages of Sovereign Grace, log on to our website at ksgctn.org. If you would like to come and worship with us, our service times are Sunday morning Bible study at 10 o'clock a.m., worship at 10:45 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m., Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Please tune in next week for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.